Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. Jesus walked from Galilee towards Jerusalem and spent the night in Jericho. The next day as he left the city, a couple of blind men started calling out loudly, trying to catch the attention of the God-man. They were desperate and knew the Son of God was their only hope for a healing. Jesus heard their shouting and could have automatically restored their sight, but he wanted them to verbalize what they wanted, and it was their faith that made them whole. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Well, praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm glad to have you here today. And today we're going to be talking about healing. Asking Jesus for a healing. Let's pray. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now that I can stand in this pulpit. And the Father God, I can preach about the riches of Christ. Lord, it doesn't matter how skilled a person is, how many scriptures he's showing. If the Holy Spirit is not working, nothing will happen. And I pray right now that every person watching or listening to this message, whatever time it is, that your Holy Spirit will be there and open his spirit and soul to understand and to act upon it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. In Matthew 20:29, we read the following. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. That is, Jesus. I want you now to see the scene. I want to describe the scene to you. At this time, Jesus had 5 days left on earth before the crucifixion. He knew that. He tried to tell it to the disciples, and they simply couldn't understand. He had been up in Galilee for almost 3.5 years, had great number of people coming out, and at the end, most of them left him. He was walking down now to Jerusalem, which was a stronghold of Kabbalistic priests and leadership, hostile territory. He had this crowd with him, thousands of people, and all of them had one thing in common, the kingdom of Israel. The Messiah is here. He is going to kick out the Romans. He is going to set up his kingdom, and we, the Jewish people, are going to rule the world. Jesus is going to be in Jerusalem, and he's going to take control of all nations, and us Jews are going to be administrators in all the nations. That was their thoughts. That's what the thought is of Kabbalistic Jews today. So figure Jesus, now he had all these people, they could hear, they were talking, and it was kind of noisy. And he's walking down the road. And then in verse number 30, we read this. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, you Son of David." If you turn to Mark 10, And I got a little advantage today because I got clips in my Bible. In Mark chapter 10, verse number 46. If I get to Mark 10, there we go, verse number 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, you son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Shut up! But he cried the more a great deal, you son of David, have mercy on me. In the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 18, and verse number 35, we read this. And it came to pass that he was come nigh to Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, you son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much more, you son of David, have mercy on me. Matthew said it was two people. We have one person. The description here, if it was one or two people, make no difference. But the thing is that these blind men, let's call them blind men, two of them, could not see. In those days, there were no hospitals. There were no doctors. There was no medication. They had herbal medication. Doctors in those days, they could amputate, they could cut off a limb, stem the bleeding, but there was no surgery. There was no help. So these were sitting by. They had heard about Jesus. They knew what he could do. And now the crowd was coming, and they said, who's coming down the road? And they were told, Jesus. And they said, Jesus, this is our chance. Jesus will never pass here again. This is our chance. And they cried. And here's the problem. The people that had eyes to see and that were not sick, they said, shut up. We don't want them. Just go away. But they said, we want our eyesight. I want you to say now that Jesus had compassion. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 20, verse number 32. And a multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, you son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, what will you that I shall do unto you? I have been to Catherine Kuhlman healings, meetings. And whatever you think about Catherine Kuhlman, some of you are too young to remember who she was. But in the meetings, she never laid hands on people that were healed in the audience. And I've stood in the audience, I've seen the healings. And when the Holy Spirit began to move, people just were healed. So people knew this. If I'm in a wheelchair, if I was blind, if I got this problem with cancer, whatever it is, I will be healed. Not only got healed, but I would say 90% of the people in the meeting got healed. I saw people come down to her meetings about 10 hours early. Sometimes they camped out during the night. And I saw the wheelchairs. I saw people on crutches. And they were with the doors open. This is a sad thing. When the doors open, the people that were not sick or could walk, they stormed it. Like that. And the poor people in wheelchairs couldn't come in. Now, their families, they would go to a back door, knock on it. Usher would open. They would say, can you let my mother come in, my brother, whatever it is, in the wheelchair? And the usher said, well, I can't offer it. You can't come in this way. And the people simply said this, we need to come in. Have mercy on us. They pushed, and they got in. That was a picture here of these two men that wanted to be healed. Jesus knew this. 5 days, I'm going to be gone. I'm going to spend 3 days in paradise. I'm going to come back for 40 days, and then I'm gone to heaven. He looked upon these men, and he saw their sincerity. He saw the handicap they had. Not this, it was their fault. And he had compassion on them. Notice now that he said this, what do you want I shall do unto you? They said unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be open. This is what you want, Lord. So Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Notice not, they followed him. Can you imagine if you have been blind for maybe from birth or a long time, whatever it is, and you're blind, and suddenly you see, they got excited, and they wanted to follow Jesus. Now, Jesus stated that faith had made them whole. Turn to Mark now, and we're going to go to Mark chapter 10, 52. And we read this. Mark 10, 52. Let me get it. There. Here we go. And Jesus said unto them, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Your faith has made you whole. In the Gospel of Luke, we pick it up here in 18:42, and we read this. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight, your faith has saved you. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when he saw it, gave praise unto God. First of all, you got to ask to be healed. It's not going to be that you simply... Sometimes you can have a mercy healing in this type of place. But you've got to ask. And then when you ask, you have to have faith that Jesus have compassion on you, that he will heal you. You've got to have faith for that. And that's what these people had. Flip your outline over not to the back page and turn to Hebrews 13:8. That is Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus never changes. The Jesus that came out of Jericho is the same Jesus today. Now he's resurrected. He has his full power. But his compassion, his thinking, has not changed. He has as much compassion today as he had 2,000 years ago. He loves us. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be healed. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to have a good life. Yesterday I started reading a book called The Laptop from Hell. And I decided I was just going to see what Hunter had done. And it's a description of a man that goes to upclass, what do you call it, upscale bars, have whores by the hundreds. These are not the one you pick up on the street. These are what you call the high-class whores. They dress differently, probably have more medical examination more often. Snorting cocaine, drinking, going to bars. And when I read that, I stopped and I said, I want to thank you, Jesus. There was a time when I was in my early 20s that I drank alcohol, I smoked, I chased around, and I thought about the many dance places I'd been to. The empty of that life, how empty it was. And I simply said, God, you've been very good to me. You saved me from that. I have lived a good life. You've taken care of me all these years. I've been able to preach the gospel, pray for the sick, do all these kind of things. And now I can look forward to being welcomed home when that day comes. And not simply someone gets saved the last minute and they lived in bars and whorehouses all their lives. I've been blessed. All of us have been sinning before we came to Christ. Some of us have problems even after we come to Christ. But I want to say this to you now, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Being a Southern Baptist, that became in the Southern Baptist Church after I came back to Christ, and having been told that the Holy Spirit is not working anymore and there was no healing and so on, I was just a regular Baptist that loved the Bible, had no power, didn't expect any miracles. But I tell you what, when I attended my first full gospel businessman's meeting, And I saw the first miracle, very dramatic miracle, happen in front of my eyes. I changed. I said, I've been a turkey all my time here. I want to fly like an eagle. This is what the Bible says. Healings, casting out of demons. I got hungry spiritually. I was sick and tired of not having the power. And God gave me the power over the years. I don't know how many demons I cast out. I don't know how many people I prayed for. I remember walking into a hospital, city of Stockton. Lady there, last part of her life, she was only about 40, 45 years old. They had pulled her husband, she would never come home again. She had five diseases. She's a basket case, can't be healed. I didn't know a whole lot. I walked in, read a couple of scriptures. I said, Fran, I'm going to pray for healing for you. I cast the demons out. I prayed for the Holy Ghost to come down upon her. I laid hands on her. Then I walked out. I didn't see her being healed. But a day or 2 days later, she was released from the hospital. Every one of the five diseases gone. And she came home, she had five children. And she ran that household, and she was so happy. And she never had a problem with those things after that. I saw a woman in the hospital that had cancer. And they told her that you have 1 day or 2 days left to live. Cancer totally saturated her. She'd been a chain smoker. She probably smoked 30, maybe two or three packs a day. I walked into the hospital. I had never met her before in my life. I had a guy in my church. That was his friend. They worked together. The woman. Her name was Hope. And so Hope had another friend that was there. I don't think they were saved. So we were standing on the back of the bed. And I said, okay, we're going to pray for you. I prayed a prayer of faith. I saw nothing. I heard nothing. We said, God bless you. We walked away. The next day, the guy from our church went to see how she was. Went up to her room. Bed was empty. And he thought she died. He went down to the front desk. When did she die? She didn't die. She was released this morning. She went home. She was totally healed. After that, we led her to Christ. She became a member of the church, was baptized. I didn't see nothing. This is the faith that I want you to get. I want you to get up from here and start rising up. And you start with, who is Jesus to you? How much do you think Jesus can do? And if you believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then you can begin to pray for people and something will happen. You pray for yourself. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7 right now. It's Matthew chapter 7. Some of you says, well, you tell the same story over again. Well, these are good stories. They happen. I got stories that happened lately, but, you know, these were some of the most. When I came in, what I saw with my own eyes, I saw what God did. I could never go back to be a Baptist again. I am a Book of Acts believer. If the Bible says it, I believe it. In The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, we pick it up in verse number 7. Here's what Jesus said. I'm going to read it slow. I want you to read it with me now. Look at the Bibles. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be open. Can you get it more plain? That's what it says. The question is not, can you believe that? Most people say, nah, you know, I'm nobody. You know, I can't, I don't believe that. That's why you don't have any miracles. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asks, receives. He that seeks, finds. And to him that knocks, shall be open. About 1988, I was diagnosed with stomach cancer. I've been sick for a couple of days and went to a doctor, and he looked at me, said, well, we're going to have some x-rays. So I went to the place for our x-rays. This was the time when I was on the radio 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. I walked into that room, and here's the x-ray technician. He looked at me and he said, John Terrell, what are you doing here? I says, well, I'm sick. Sick? He couldn't believe it. I said, well, that's, I don't feel too good. So he took the x-rays. I said, since you're my friend, you've been listening to me on the radio for a long time, what do you see? He said, I can't tell you that. I'm not a doctor. Hey, you're a buddy of mine. What do you see? Well, you got lesions on your stomach. So I was sent now to another specialist. And this specialist was looking at my chart and says, well, we got some problems in your stomach here. Definitely we got some cancer here. So we're going to have to, this is 1988, but I had less good stuff they have now. He said, we're going to drop a camera down your throat, and we're going to take a look down there and see what you got. So I asked the guy, because I had no hospital insurance at that time. I said, how much? He said, $5,000. I woke up, $5,000. I didn't have the money. And I got shocked out of it, and then I started thinking, no. Why am I'm on a merry-go-around. I go from one doctor to another doctor, this and that, and these who tell me this or that. So I finally told him, he was a Hindu guy, I told him, I'm going to go, I have another doctor I'm going to see. So this guy said, who's that doctor? I said, his name is Dr. Jesus. So I walked out. Walked down on the side of, walked to my car. I know he's walking with me. And I prayed this silent prayer. I said, God, I'm going to believe that you're going to heal me. Either you heal me or I'm going home. But I'm not going to go back to this doctor's anymore. I'm done. That was 1988. This is not 2024. Do I have a stomach problem? No. Did they have a stomach problem after that? No. What kicked in was $5,000 maybe to really have faith in Jesus again. Okay? Now, let's move right here what I said here. Now we're going to read some more verses here. For everyone that asks receives, He that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be open. What man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, would he give him a stone? Or if he ask for a fish, would he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do even to, so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. In other words, we are not going to hurt anyone. So Jesus is the same, and we can move in the supernatural. Now here's, you're going to get a bonus scripture now that is not on the outline. And that's from the book of Acts, chapter 9. That's the book of Acts, chapter 9. And book of Acts 9, verse number 32. And it came to pass, as Peter passed through all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. He was paralyzed. I want you to see the pictures now. Here's the Apostle Peter coming to this town, Lydda. He finds this guy in bed. He's been in bed for 8 years. What does that mean to your muscles? His muscles are gone. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ make you whole. Jesus Christ makes you whole. Arise, make your bed. And he arose immediately. I want you to catch this now. Who had Peter been with? He had been with Jesus for 3.5 years. He had been commissioned to cast out demons. He had prayed for the sick. He had now seen the resurrection. Jesus had talked to them for 40 days. He had had a meal with Jesus after his resurrection. He's walking into the city. He sees this guy in bed, 8 years. No muscles left. Skin and bones. And Peter says, well, why don't you just rise in the name of Jesus? Not only rise, get up, and then make your bed. They had bed rolls in those days, so you rolled the bed up. What happened? And he arose immediately. Why could Peter do that? Because he had been with Jesus. He knew Jesus. He had been forgiven for denying Jesus 3 times. He had been restored. And he simply said, if Jesus did it, he said, I could do it. I'm going to do it. Period. How do you start your healing ministry? You just start praying for the sick. And then you expect Jesus to be there. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. So because of that, people got saved. They got excited. If you see that, you don't have to tell them, you know, I'm going to tell you about God. I saw this guy healed. I seen him laying there. There is a God. Tell me more. Verse 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. Whom they had washed, they laid her in the upper chamber. Dead, prepared for funeral, and forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. In those days, you couldn't call for an ambulance. You couldn't have medical people coming in and simply try to start your heart and give you this and that. People did not even know that existed. You were dead. You were dead. Next was, dig a hole for you and stick you down there. You're done. Okay? Now, these people had heard about this guy that got healed. They says, well, here's Dorcas. She's dead. Let's send for Peter. That's faith. They simply had heard, and they don't have seen enough, but they heard what Peter had done in the name of Jesus. And they had faith and said, well, if he could raise that guy up that's been in bed for 8 years, and then when he stood up, he made his bed and walked home, wherever he went, we could probably have Peter do something here. Then Peter rose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought unto him in the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. Now they tried to say to Peter, hey, you know, we want to encourage you to really put some faith here, some prayer. See the stuff that she made. She made this, she made this, and that's enough, you know. And we want her to do it again. Peter, see what a good person she was? Of course, Peter, you can raise her for the dead. Well, they were working in the flesh. But Peter put them all forth. He simply said, hey, get outside. And then kneeled down and prayed. And turning him to the body, said, he spoke to a dead body. Tabitha was gone. Her soul was not there. Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. Where did Tabitha come from? She was a Christian. She simply had started going to heaven, was in heaven. And then Jesus said, Peter down there is working on your body. You want to go back, kid? Yeah, well, I guess so. He says, well, here's a flight. Take a flight down. And so she came back, got in the body, and she sat up, and that was it. Now, how do you think Peter felt? He didn't have that power. He could have called her back. But he simply, in the name of Jesus, he prayed. Could you do such a thing if you had to? If there was a need, was an accident? I believe that Sotiris told me a couple of times that he'd been in an accident and people were pretty bad off, and he was one of the first one there. He started praying for them and they revived. Now, Sotiris is a praying man. Had a lot of faith. And he was known throughout all of Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. So what can we learn from this? Well, you're going to have to make a decision. what you believe. I would like to point out that I'm the outline right now, that a surgeon can never heal a person. Doctors cannot heal anyone. They can clean you up. They can sew you up. They can prepare things, set bones, but they cannot heal. Healing comes from within. It's a gift of God. So God has built into our bodies that we will heal our bodies. And then at times, we need to have a little extra prayer and help and simply say, Jesus, we want a little bit extra power here to expedite this. I want to take you now to Proverbs chapter 15. Just before Psalms, and after Psalms, we have Proverbs. And we're going to go to chapter 15, and we're going to read verse number 13. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Every car that is made now, they started this in the 1990s. But even now more, every car today that you buy is computerized. And it has a pretty elaborate computer. That computer is not sitting where it can be heated up or have damages. That computer is sitting in the car in a secure place, in a case where it is not being damaged, there's not heat or cold, and they want to protect that computer because that computer receives signals from your injectors where you inject gasoline in. They measure the moisture in the air. They look upon how much power you need. That computer checks your air in your tires. It tells you if a door is open. A computer tells you a lot of different things. Now, computers are fragile. You mess with a chip, and that computer is going to do shooting too much gasoline into your car. It's going to do this or that. It's going to do all kind of bad things to your car. So the people that make cars know this, that we have to put the computer in such a place that it will not get too hot, not too cold, and it will be protected. It doesn't get banged up. That makes sense, right? Now, you have a physical body that is a car. Inside of your physical body is you, a soul. You have a soul brain, soul body, and you have a spirit if you're born again. Now, computers in a car have one advantage over you. They don't have any emotions. So somebody stand outside the car and say, this is an ugly car. I don't like the colors. That computer is simply going to say, who cares? But you tell that to a human being, and our emotions are going to kick in, and the person now is disturbed. I want to read again 15:13. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, But by sword of heart, the spirit is broken. In our physical body, we got a number of thermostats. We have a computer back in the back of our neck, called a brainstem. And in the physical computer, we got down things. So when God made you, He, like we make cars, you are computerized. You are set on automatic. Your blood pressure is regulated by your thermostats. When you eat food, you don't simply say, okay, I'm going to eat this steak. Okay, I need X number of acid, and I've got to work it this many times, and so on. You sit down at the table, you gobble it up, you eat it, it tastes good, praise God, it goes down, and you don't worry about it because you are automatic. There's stuff built in there, you know, muscles work this, that, you squirt in, that's that, and eventually it comes out in the colon, you know, and you're told, you know, you need to go to the bathroom, we need to empty out. And you go in there, you empty out, you know, and you're good again, you know. But so you had to do that manually. The body will not empty out the colon for you. And you've got to do that yourself. Here's what we know is this. You're sitting down at a dinner table, and it's a nice meal, and you and your wife or somebody else is there, you're sitting to eat. Here is a phone call. Somebody calls you up and give you really bad news. What happened? You lose your appetite. You went, oh, my. Oh, God. No. He's dead? Can't be. What happened? Well, your computer got hit by emotions. Because your computers work on electricity and chemicals signals. And now it's out of kilter. So you can't enjoy it. Most sicknesses are caused by emotions that screw up our system. Now, doctors can fix you. Because it says, well, you take this pill, and you take this pill, and that pill, and this pill, and that, so on. And we're going to control you. What they're doing is, they're bypassing the computer and simply try to mask it. It is as good as if you're driving down the road, and you see any light is coming on. And you said, I can fix that. Got a little hammer. You knock that light out, the light goes out, car is fixed. Right? Drive down and your car burns up. That's medication. You need to deal with a problem. The problem is the soul. I got one more scripture for you here. That's Proverbs 18. That's Proverbs 18. And I found this out in myself. Most sick people are not happy people. That's just the way it is. Proverbs 18, verse number 14. And we read this. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. But a wounded spirit, who can bear it? The spirit of the man, the soul, will maintain your sickness. Period. In other words, we need a healing. Your problem is not that you have cancer. The problem is not that you got arthritis. The problem is not this or that. The problem is you got a soul problem. And your soul needs to be healed. And this is very difficult because most people don't want their souls to be healed. They like to stay and be angry and upset and whatever it is. But I want you to see that now in verse number 14. The spirit of a man, your soul, will sustain, will keep your sickness. You can't get healed until the soul is healed first. What about Dorcas? What about this guy that was laying down there? Well, I believe that God not only healed the man from that sickness he had, but he healed his soul. Because all these guys got happy afterwards. They got excited. And then the next half of that verse is, but a wounded spirit, who can bear it? If you're around people that their soul is out of whack, they're not fun people to be around. So now the question is, what can you do? There was a little book written back in the 1960s called None of These Diseases. And it was a Presbyterian medical doctor. Over the years, he had realized this, that the sicknesses was caused by spiritual problems in the soul. And the book was really a great book at that time. It still is a great book. I refer people to it. And he simply lays out what the problem is. And so you got to fix the problem. Then your body heals. We had Henry White in his ministry here. He's gone with the Lord now. Henry White wrote, had a book about this sick. And he has listed just about every sickness and disease there is in the world. And he got a spiritual root to each one of them. He said this, for example, arthritis. That's caused bitterness. Resentment will give you arthritis. What is arthritis? It is, we have calcium in the body. And the calcium, we need it. And the glands that regulate that. But when you get bitterness and resentment, the soul messes up with your glands. And suddenly, you're not dumping calcium in your joints. Arthritis. Well, they had medication for that and this and that. Well, the problem is, get rid of your bitterness and your resentment. And you get well. So I'm not having much time here today. I'm just trying to whet your appetite. If you really want to pursue this, get that little book called, we had, the name just fell out. None of These Diseases by Milliken. Or you can get from our ministry the book by Henry White, A More Excellent Way. A More Excellent Way. And then you can begin to work on your soul. So wrapping this up, healing. If your soul is not too badly disturbed, you would get the healing right away. But if you have a soul problem, then the healing will be delayed. Because like it said here, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. In other words, your soul says, no, I'm not going to allow the body to be healed. I will sustain the sickness until I have been dealt with. There's something in your life that makes you upset, angry. You're not happy. That has to be dealt with first. Then your body heals up almost automatically. You will listen to me today in And I know this, that people are not saved. And this is one thing that I decided to do when I started preaching. I will never present the message without presenting Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I know there's someone out there that is not saved. You listen today, you're intrigued, it sounds good, but I'm not saved. You can get saved right now. How do you get saved? Confess you're a sinner, you know that. Simply say, God, I need to be saved. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he came to this earth to die on the cross. On the cross he paid for my sins. He was resurrected. And he paid for my sins. Jesus, come to me. Save me. Give me eternal life. And that is how simple it is to be saved. When we finish the last prayer here, Pastor Charles will come up. You will not see him, but three crosses will come up on your screen. And he will say, my friend. And then he will take you about 10 minutes and give scriptures and show you exactly what to do and how to pray. When you do that, contact me. I'd like to pray with you, encourage you, and just rejoice with you that you got saved. To those of you that are born again, you listen to me today, and you realize this. My computer is not working properly. I got issues. I am not happy. I am not content. Why not? Simply said, Jesus, I want you to diagnose me. Tell me why I'm unhappy. Show me how I can get unhappy. And most of unhappiness can be dealt with in forgiveness, repentance, and giving up sin. So take time this afternoon, go through the scriptures again I had here today, and then say, God, speak to me, and he will. Thomas.
Father God, I want to thank you for another good word today, good teaching, Lord. I also want to thank you, Lord, that I went to a revival tent meeting and you moved, your Holy Spirit moved, and many, many people got saved. And the preaching was just your standard. Jesus came to save sinners. And it was beautiful to behold. So I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for your word that it gives us a solid foundation, Lord. And it is, it's beautiful to be on a solid foundation. So thank you for your word, Lord. Let us put it daily in our heart. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are. You've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 53rd part in the series, The Gospel of Matthew, and was entitled, Asking Jesus for a Healing. Jesus walked south from Galilee towards Jerusalem and spent the night in Jericho. The next day, as he left the city, a couple of blind men started calling out loudly, trying to catch his attention. They were desperate and knew the God-man was their only hope for a healing. Jesus heard their shouting and could have automatically restored their sight, but he wanted them to verbalize what they wanted, and in the end, it was their faith that made them whole. The God-man knew this was their only chance to have their sight rectified. It was unconditional love that healed the two men. When you realize that Jesus does not change over time, it opens the door of faith to believe the Son of God is still in the healing business. It just takes faith, and that only comes from being born again. Then it's just a matter of thanking the Lord for what you're about to receive. And that is the essence of faith. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1952. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.